prana-parami. The Sanskrit word paramita means to cross over to the other shore, from the shore of avidya to the shore of enlightenment, the attainment of perfect wisdom.
Here, we have to explain a little bit about prana paramita. The Sanskrit actually, at that time, for the Buddha, is belonging to kind of worded Sanskrit. It's different from the Sanskrit nowadays because that is the classic Sanskrit. And the Sanskrit word carries a lot of enigmatic meanings. Because of that, it's open to lots of interpretation. That's why in the translation in China, they don't want to use the original meaning of this prana paramita. So they don't translate this word. So they, in Chinese, it's called Borye Boromato. Borye Boromato. So the name sounds almost similar to the Sanskrit word. And in those days, because the word is Sanskrit, carrying the meaning is so vast and so copious, in learning all those philosophy, usually the disciple just kneel down and listen to the guru or their teachers. Next, please.
Paramitas is the roadmap to enlightenment.
This roadmap to enlightenment is different from each and everyone.
Sorry about the interjection. Asking is a vocabulary verdict. Vertic is simply the adjective of Vedas, and Vedas are the original holy text even before Upanishad. So these are the maybe 6,000 to 10,000 years ago, that ancient wisdom, that's all. It's just ancient holy text before first written, that's all.
Thank you, Dr. Do.
Prana is the interconnected dynamic forces and activities among all things within the cosmic web.
Here we know that actually we just try to put it in words to describe the prana. It's a force, but actually this is quite inconceivable. We had a Chinese poem by one of the poets in China said, Qing Dei Yao Jing Hei, that this kind of propelling force existing in the heaven and on earth, Jia Ying Fu Lao Ying, and it has been transmitted in many forms. Shang Zhe Wei Yat Sen Ha Zhe Wei Ho Ho. That means on the above, it manifested as the sun, moon, and star, and down below is manifested in the form of mountain rivers, Yu Yan Yu Ho Yin. And in human is also existing this kind of propelling force too. Pu Fu Sub Chong Ming. And this kind of force is filling every empty spaces in the space and in every atom. So we can find in the atoms actually is 99% empty. Next, please.
Prana paramita is the propelling force to navigate this journey of the heart. For example, we have the Prana Paramita Heart Sutra.
So from here we know that actually this is a kind of force also navigate our thought, our words, and our actions. As a Buddhism, we all learn from this Prana Paramita Heart Sutra, and in our deep study, then we know this prana forces also in the end of this sutra is some mantras. And some people may say, oh, what is the use of reciting mantras? We know that the sound frequencies change things. So that's why at the end of this paramita sutra is a mantras. That's why when we wholehearted reciting the heart sutra, something inconceivable will happen. Next, please.
The awakening. On the other shore, Gautama sat under a tree, gazed at the cosmic night sky, and remembered the farmer, the worm, and the bird. It dawned on him that everything that arises could only arise out of conditions that cause it to arise or to be created. The creation of this universe is no exception. The arising of all phenomena depends on pre-existing conditions. He formulated the doctrine of dependent origination, Pratyaya Samuttapada.
Here we can see Buddha actually used the micro observation and macro observation to see things just arises out of conditions. So where this comes and where that comes. So actually, what the Buddha, the most important the doctrine he founded, actually is this dependent origination. Even the Four Noble Truths and also the eight stages of good path is already existing before Buddha. And this dependent origination is actually the new doctrine founded by the Buddha. He also found this kind of abhida, and this is ignorance. It's the root of all suffering. Suffering is come from this abhida. And for this point, we will have a lecture to fully explain how it works. Next, please.
Now comes the wholesome enlightenment. He eradicated all defilements, purified himself totally, and realized things as they truly were, and attained enlightenment by his own striving at the age of 35.
So here we see Buddha just enlightened himself on his own effort. He depends on no other external forces. So at the age of 35, he's totally enlightened. Next, please.
People called him the Awakened One, or Gautama Buddha, or Sakyamuni. He served humanity as a living example of perfect enlightenment. He taught precepts and ideology, and eradicated all self-benefits.
Sakya is the name of the tribe of the Buddha, and Muni in Indian is called maybe a teacher, a guru. Next.
The Buddha passed away in his 80th year as an ordinary human being who had lived out a perfect life of virtue.
So Buddha was born as a human, lived his life as a human, and passed away as a human. That's why he gives us an example that this kind of Buddha's nature is in each and every one of us. And what we should do is that we should do it in our lifetime, not in the next lifetime. Next.
Advancing the truth. Buddha exhorted his disciples to regard his Dharma as their teachers.
What the Buddha taught his disciples, one of the most important things is that don't believe what I said. You have to experience yourself and practice yourself to see and validate whether it is working before you believe. Next, please.
And he never arrogated to himself any sort of divinity or deity.
Buddha never regarded himself as a god or any kind of idol to be respected. During his lifetime, actually, he tried to discourage his disciples. He's just an ordinary person like every one of them.
He exhorted his disciples to depend on themselves for their deliverance through purification of defilements.
So again, Buddha reminds his disciples, they have to depend themselves for the deliverance, for their own enlightenment and their own awakening.
Enlightenment is not only for oneself, but for all beings.
And this is most important too. So in our classes, we should learn that we are attending this class and learning this lesson is for other beings. We open up our heart and look at all the things from a different respect. Next, please.
The Dharma is the teacher. Again and again and again, Buddha reminded his followers it was superficial and futile to seek redemption through benignant saviors and to pray for illusionary happiness in afterlife through the propitiation of imaginary gods or by irresponsive prayers and meaningless sacrifices.
Buddha reminds us that actually we cannot seek any gift or any happiness from the illusionary god. When we come to the temple, also in the Diamond Sutra, you cannot ask anything from the Buddha. You just come here to pay the respect to the Buddha and remind yourself the Dharma of the Buddha.
His iron will, profound wisdom, universal love, boundless compassion, selfless service, historic renunciation, exemplary methods employed to propagate the teachings. All these have influenced 6% of the population of the world today to hail him as their teacher.
Here the word compassion very well counted. It's like a compass. It's enclosing everything and enclosing every passion. It's included our love, our gratitude, our blissfulness, of selflessness, all this kind of good virtue. And also, the work to enlightenment is not only for ourselves. We don't only enlighten the Buddha nature in ourselves, but also the Buddha nature in others. And thank you for coming today.
Sorry, we are 20 minutes behind because we have to accommodate our new students today for filling in the pre-class survey, and they have to do that before the class. Otherwise, as soon as the class starts, your perspectives will already change. You would have answered that survey question very differently, believe me. That is why we have a 20 minutes delay, and I hope that has not been an inconvenience to anyone else. Does anybody have to leave quickly because of other engagement? Feel free. Next week, there is no class because it's a Chinese New Year, and I will be asking Ming soon to come and say a few words about the Chinese New Year thing. But before that, please go back to several slides. Let's go back to the prana parameter. Yeah, this one. Yeah. So here, remember this is several thousand years ago. I want to draw your attention to these things. Prana parameter, as S.K. said, this word exists before Gautama Buddha, Sakyamuni Buddha. This prince was about 2,500 years ago. Before that, there was Brahmanism. Before that, there was Vaidis, which before that is Sanantata. Okay, so this is about 6,000 to 10,000 years ago. In India, this concept already exists about cosmic web, about everything connecting to everything. Now, in our AW mission, we equate science equals Buddhism equals philosophy, right? So in today's modern language, we can explain this very comfortably, but 10,000 years ago, this is the best they could do, all right? Today, with the discovery of the Higgs boson, it's only about 3-4 months ago, and also in quantum mechanics about quantum entanglement, and all these we will go into later on in the curriculum year 4. If you read the website, it's all there. We will explain all this stuff in detail using modern science to validate ancient wisdom from the philosophical, using the metaphysical approach. And that is why Tathagata. How does these things become from nothing to something? Okay, that's, if you know, understand how the Higgs boson works, you understand how matter is created from energy and so on. So this is how the physical can become from the non-physical. And these are what they're thinking about when they're meditating tens of thousands of years ago. They're not asking any deities to be blessing them. Okay? And this is kind of current, modern, made in Canada Buddhism that AWE is advancing. Okay? So I just want to point that out. And with that propelling force, which is universal connectivity. Okay? So, next slide, please. This is again connectivity, personal experience, and so on and so forth. Next slide. Yeah, but that's it. So, go back one. I'll read that thing. Ignorance. This is what we're overcoming. Coming to this class, we are overcoming this ignorance, okay, by modern science. All right? There's no superstition whatsoever about this. So, if you come for the AW course, and the younger the better. When you're 8-year-old, 12-year-old, these things are simple to you because you have not yet been contaminated with all this irrelevant, fragmented education. You will know all this stuff is just natural because the truth is simple and beautiful and natural. Right? Once you get a big picture, everything else you do in life is easy. That's why it's the Academy of Wisdom. By getting rid of ignorance, with the correct knowledge, we will develop wisdom from that. How? That's it. Another lecture. So, if we would please close the that. Let us do a merit transfer. So, put our palm together. We transfer merit. By this effort, may all sentient beings be free of suffering.
May all sentient beings be free of suffering.
May their minds be filled with the nectar of virtue.
May their minds be filled with the nectar of virtue.
In this way, may all causes resulting in sufferings be extinguished. And only the light of compassion shine throughout all realms. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.